Last week I mentioned that often when I have an opportunity to reflect on the scripture that there can be those homilies that are more, how do you live in life? And in some ways that's what we talked about last week. We had the Moses thing with the staff and on the rock and them holding up his arms and sort of talked about what it is to be old and the difference between being elderly and being an elder and seeking wise counsel and having support from those around you when you have to hold your arms up. So that's more operational spirituality, if you will. I think that the readings today are more on the other side, more of the spiritual or even the mystical type of spirituality that is a part of who we are as individuals and certainly as a church. You know, the gospel last week, I think, and the gospel this week really link into one another. Last week, if you remember, it was the guy who had a lot of money and had a real good year, had a lot of crops, and he said, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And he said, well, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And the Lord said, you fool, this evening your soul is required of you. You know, and then today, we've got the Pharisee, and it's interesting, just reading the gospel, it dawned on me that it says the Pharisee prayed to himself, oh Lord, I'm glad I'm not like all these other people. Prayed to himself. The tax collectors prayed to God, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, wouldn't even come in. Held his head down, be merciful to me, a sinner. As we approach our healing service today, I want to talk about what I think is represented in those two gospels, last week's and this week, and often something that we can get into. And I would call that the idolatry of attainment. The idolatry of attainment. That often we think that our lives consist of and are primarily driven by attaining wealth. At the end, the one that has the most stuff wins. There's the old movie, I think it was The Wolf of Wall Street or one of those. Michael Douglas, I think, was in it. He said, greed is good.
Wall Street, yeah.
Greed is good. Have you ever wondered, sometimes you hear or you see or you read about folks that just seem to have everything? They have talent, they have skill, maybe they're athletes or musicians or politicians, and you just see them with all of this stuff, not only material stuff, but skills and talents, and they're just so profoundly unhappy. And they die young. Maybe at their own hand, maybe in an overdose or, you know. And we just stand back, at least I do, and I say, what? What's that about? How can these people that seem to have everything be so profoundly unhappy? I think St. Augustine gives us a clue. My heart does not rest, O Lord, until it rests in you. The idolatry of attainment. Getting one more thing or getting the next raise, and there isn't anything wrong with, don't think you're hearing me say there's something wrong with trying to have nice things or a nice home or looking at a better job or improving your skills or going back to school. That isn't what I'm saying. But what it is when we think that's all there is. That's all there is. That somehow we believe that the gist of our life, all of our life is represented in conditioned states of things that happen to us. That we're at the surface. We often live at the surface of our lives, like at the surface of a lake or an ocean, and we just scoot across it rather than diving deep into it. You know, the unlived life is bitter. And attaining more things isn't going to address that inmost place. And then I think if we look at today's gospel, this guy has an idolatry of attainment, this Pharisee, internally. Last week, the guy, it was external. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to get all this stuff for me. That's what he's saying. It's for me. It's not for y'all. Y'all can fend for yourself. But this is for me. Today, I think we're looking at attitudes of the mind and the heart that often stand in the way. In the way of what? In the way of our relationship to God, which is primary. That our hearts don't rest until they rest in God. That we existed with Christ in God from the beginning of the universe. And often we can have attitudes of the mind and heart that stand in the way. They can be obvious, like with this Pharisee. You know, it's self-righteousness basically there. But I wonder if we peel the onion back and look down deeper beneath that, what's there? Maybe feeling a lack, that he's not enough. So if I'm not enough, what do I need to do? I need to puff myself up. And I need to say, well, I'm better than you guys. Sometimes we've got to peel the onion and go back to the very root. Attitudes of the mind and heart. And so often, what I'd like you to think about in terms of healing is there's trauma and abandonment that we can live with for years and years and years that gives manifest in our lives to really profound dysfunction. Really things in our lives that make our life very miserable. And then often we can make other people around us, their lives miserable as well. There is the old thing, hurt people hurt people. And we can do that. Because often the area, the exact core, the place within our lives that needs to be loved the most is the area of our life that we do the most violence to. Because we refuse to really look at it or touch it because it's so painful. And we can be 72 years old and still have areas of our life that are very painful and we don't want to look at. And just stay away from them. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to talk about that. But you see, just because we don't want to look at it or because we don't want to talk about it doesn't mean that it's relinquished its controlling interest in our lives. That sometimes we hold on to our own brokenness. And that can be idolatry of attainment as well. That we just hold on to it. Often, you know, the question is, not as much what were the things that were done to us as what they did to us. You know, that's what makes things like child abuse so horrendous, that the little ones are so vulnerable and so trusting, and then the guardian who from their own brokenness is unable to care for the little one and often breaks their heart And they grow into adults then that don't trust. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. How many of us learned those lessons very, very, very young? What happens in this family stays in this family. Don't talk about it. Okay, I don't talk. But if I can't talk, who am I going to trust? And if I can't talk and I don't trust, then I'm going to turn my feelings off. And I go through life not looking at it, whatever the it is. And the idolatry of attainment is often we believe that we are conditioned states of what has happened to us. And we're not. We are not who our father said we were. Lazy, incompetent, not measuring up. We're not who our mother said we were. We're not who our lover or our spouse said we were. We're not who the neighbors said we were, but we are who God says we are, which is the beloved. And often we engage in all this upper stuff, and we never get around to really knowing that we are God's beloved. Our souls do not rest until they rest in you. St. Augustine. And we stay wrapped up in trauma and abandonment for years. And it weighs down our heart. And it weighs down our life. And it stands in the way of us beginning to love. So if there's somebody that I love and I'm beginning to get close to them, and all of a sudden all my warning bells go off inside, don't get close to this person because they're going to only hurt you. And my warning bells go bing, 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 bing. And I think that's who I am. And I stop and I step away. I can be married to that person and those things still go on. I dance that dance back and forth, back and forth. And yet I hold on to the hurt. Like that is my treasure of great price. And it's not. We are not a matter of conditioned states about things that happen to us, attitudes of the mind and heart born in trauma and abandonment. That is not us. We are not what other people say we are, but we are who God says we are. And when we say, your will be done, what we're doing is aligning our will with God's will, and what that is that we are the beloved. We are cherished sons and daughters of God. And our great challenge is to embrace that. Because often, well, it's just a matter of going to church, right? We go and get our ticket punched and cool. We're good. But we never get around to really embracing. Because all the possessions that we have, and we're not going to take that with you. I always say you don't see a moving van in a funeral procession. That, none of that stuff is going to come. And the only thing that our brokenness and our attitudes do is stand in the way. That's not going to go. The only thing that's going to go is love. That's what goes. Sometimes we have to, at least I have to, when I come before the Lord, bring my lack of love. We live right on a golf course in Bowling Green. And there was a guy who was a good friend of mine years and years ago. And we had a significant falling out. And it was work-related. And he plays golf on that golf course. So I'm sitting on the back deck, smoking a cigar, doing whatever I do back there. And he comes by in a golf course. He waves. I smile and wave, secretly wishing he'd have a heart attack on the next green. Not really that bad. But I really have to pray to forgive him, and it isn't easy. Because I really cared for him. And he betrayed me. Many of us have had that experience. Maybe we were this high, or this high, or this high. Maybe it happened when we were 4 or 14, or 44, or 54, 74. But as you come today to pray for healing, and you hold out your hands, bring that brokenness, bring that anything that stands in the way of that love of God, and just lay it right here. Just leave it there. No Velcro hands. Or you bring it, you set it here, and then you take it back. None of that. When you come before the Lord to pray for healing, bring that. Bring forgiveness. May I forgive those who have hurt me. Because you know what? We've hurt people too. And it's so important for that healing, because that which is not transformed is transferred. That which is not transformed is transferred. If we have these areas of brokenness and we refuse to have them healed and addressed, it's transferred. It's transferred out to our children. It's transferred out to other people. It's transferred out into our environment. It can't help but be. Because that's what's controlling. That's the controlling interest. If someone owns 51% of the company and you own 49%, you know what? 51% wins. They have controlling interest of the company. Often there are things in our lives that have controlling interest. What needs to have controlling interest? Love. Where does that love come from? God. What will we take to God when we die? When we pass through the veil into glory? Love. I won't take my Dodge Ram pickup truck. And I won't take the fact that there's somebody I haven't forgiven. The only thing I'm going to take is love when I go through the veil and into glory. Because all the rest of this is passing away, and it's doing so relatively quickly. Why are we here? One reason: to learn to love. And that's the challenge. So I just pray and ask that we take a minute, and as we prepare for the sacrament of anointing, think about what is it that you bring? What is it in your heart of hearts that needs to be healed? May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain forever.